Steve. Oui, le Steve n'est pas ici. That's kind of French for Steve Jackson is still in Georgetown, somewhere out there in Washington. I believe that's where it is. And what he's doing there, we have no idea. There's a rumor that he's gunning for a cabinet position to be, for all intents and purposes, a mole for the left. We'll see what's left of Steve when he comes back. He's bringing Mike DeWald, our producer extraordinaire at large, with him. In the meantime, though, this is Daedalus Howe just sitting in, keeping the seat warm, having a fine time. We have kind of a funny lineup today. We have Tony Kashani. He's a local author with a new book about how movies have changed our lives. And we might have kind of a movie day today. And I'm going to tell you why we're going to have a movie day, because I saw Doctor Strange. But I didn't just see it in the movie theaters. I saw Doctor Strange in Acre Coffee in Petaluma. And by that, I mean there's a dude called Doctor Strange who practices medicine in Petaluma, who is seeing a kind of uptick in his relative presence as things go because of the movie. So check this out. You got the ever-expanding Marvel Universe. Doctor Strange, of course, is the Benedict Cumberbatch vehicle, wherein basically he's an arrogant neurosurgeon who has some kind of texting and driving faux pas that basically leads him into a car accident wherein he loses the ability to use his hands at least as effectively as he once did. He's so verklempt over this that he goes east, as white people often do, seeking wisdom. And what he finds is a shaven-headed lass named Tilda Swinton, otherwise known as the Ancient One, who teaches him how to navigate the multiverse. Now, this is all very complicated, but Doctor Strange, meaning Dr. Nicholas Strange, doesn't quite do the multiverse thing, but apparently he's really good with his hands. He's able to adjust your skeletal structure such that you can lock yourself back into sync with whatever activity you were doing. And I asked him at this cafe, I said, "So, man, what's it been like being Dr. Strange now that you're famous?" and he said he should have gotten more money. So this is funny. I wrote about this for the Rivertown Report, which is one of the blogs I do for the Press Democrat. And I get a letter from my editor, not a letter to the editor, but a letter from my editor responding to some criticism that there's apparently another Doctor Strange that I had failed to mention in my article about our Doctor Strange in Petaluma. Apparently, Doctor Strange, I'm going to put this all in Dr. Nicholas Strange, I'm going to put it all in his hands, as it were. He's married to another doctor named Melissa Strange, who did not get the appropriate shout out from the Rivertown Report and me. So I want to express my apologies right now to Dr. Melissa Strange. I'm so sorry I forgot to mention you in my funny little piece about your husband, who's also named Dr. Strange, in relation to the film Dr. Strange, currently out in theaters now. So I hope that clears up some of the misfortunate sort of omissions, and I hope we can all get along. And there it is. So that's my mea culpa today. Right now, I want to go to a little tune to get us off the hands and maybe back on the legs, and we'll be right back on The Drive, KSRO.
Traffic is trying to recover into Petaluma. Tough going on a Friday anyway, but there was an earlier wreck northbound north of Washington. It is backed up solid all the way down to the Atherton on-ramp. South 101 still struggling from the base of the grade into the lane merge, and that's starting to get a little better now, but there was definite spectator value earlier for South 101ers looking over the freeway to see what was happening northbound. So kind of slow across town both directions. 37 is lining up slow just before Lakeville, and I would say slow as you go almost all the way out to Skaggs Island Road. Some westbound 37 slow from Skaggs heading out to that Sonoma Creek Bridge. So many of you thought about becoming teachers when you were little. Well, it's time to put it back on your list. Innovative things are happening in teaching today. Find out how you can make more. Teach.org. Make more. Teach. And that's your drive traffic. I'm Michael Green in the KSRO Traffic Center.
Hey, it's Daedalus Howell sitting in for Steve Jackson, who's in Washington, D.C. in the belly of the beast right now. But right here next to me is author and academic Tony Kashani. How are you doing, sir?
Doing quite well, Atlas.
You are, in part because you have a new book out, Movies Change Lives, Pedagogy of Constructive Humanist Transformation Through Cinema. Now, the first title I get, I understand. I think most listeners can follow us there, that movies can change lives. Movies change lives, as the title reads. But Pedagogy of Constructive Humanistic Transformation Through Cinema. That, by the way, I had to tattoo that to like, embed that in my consciousness. Pray tell, sir, what does that mean?
Okay, well, as you could obviously tell, I decided to have these two titles for the book. One, to reach the audience and readers that love movies. I just want to read books about different films that they may or may not have seen. And the other part was to satisfy the experts, as it were. you know, the critics, the academics, my colleagues, and so on. But in reality, the book is you know, comes in two folds. One part is for me to lay out my theory about how movies, cinema, to be correct, can actually transform a person, and in turn, the person can transform his or her environment, community, city, and so on.
And we're talking in a positive way, not the way, say, that TV, for example, once upon a time was criminalized as being the boob tube and it was ruining young minds. You're saying cinema has a positive effect that people can use to fortify and change their environments.
Well, that's a really, really good point to bring up. Well, it can be positive, but it can also be negative. So my focus, obviously, is on the positive aspects of transformation of cinema through the person's engagement with cinema. But I also include one chapter devoting it to one particular film that could actually have a disastrous transformation for folks that engage with it, and that's the movie that came out.
Howard the Duck. That was terrible. That ruined so many young lives.
Howard the Duck, Dumb and Dumber, Dumb and Dumber 2. Actually, I like those two films. It was movie 300, which I think did a lot of damage to
interesting.
Popular
okay.
culture. Yeah.
Well, 300 was obviously a very popular film directed by Zack Snyder. Sort of a digital tapestry of effects and violence. You loosely based on a comic book that was loosely based on Spartan.
Right, right. Distortion of history, you know. I decided to include that just to point out, you know, what you were bringing up, that movies don't necessarily make us better people. But if we have the critical thinking skills and the media literacy that I try to put in the book, hence the part of the title says pedagogy. Mm-hmm. Pedagogy is, you know, science, philosophy, and methodology of teaching. My assumption is that movies are these little teaching machines that teach us how to behave, teach us how to think, teach us how to engage with the world. And if a movie can disturb you to a point where you go home and you've got a few days of internal disturbance and you're kind of a thinking person, then that movie can potentially bring you to a new level of consciousness.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's back up a little bit. So,
sure.
I know for a fact, in my generation, in my experience, Star Wars, which hit our local cinemas here in 77 when I was five, was totally transformational. I mean, it embedded some stuff in me that has remained with me since, which is why I'm always trying to turn off the lights with my mind when I'm half asleep. And, you know, but that was based on a whole series of mythologies and sort of archetypical stuff that, you know, it's already baked into us, right? But it electrified that and turned that on. And ever since then, oddly, I have not wanted to be Luke Skywalker. Like everyone else, I want to be Han Solo.
Yes, right?
Is that an example of a positive effect of a movie where a sort of de facto, for lack of a better term, belief system came out of it? You know, or am I just a puppet of George Lucas?
Well, I think the answer is a little bit of everything that you just mentioned. Well, to begin with, you were a child when you saw this, and so was I when I first saw Star Wars, and I was just enamored by it. This is a fabulous film, and so on. And of course, you know, the popular culture as an industry as it is, you know, brings in the auxiliaries to movies with it, the toys, the ideas around, you know, how to tell stories. And then, of course, the myths that are around it and so forth, and the hype that comes through the television programs and so forth. And it continues to be part and parcel to our way of life if you like. Mm-hmm. So it's in the air. And that's how ideology operates. So movies can be ideological. And I would say that, in my view, Star Wars is emblematic of how our ideology operates. Now, Star Wars, you know, the story of good guys versus the bad guys, the dark empire versus the, you know, the underdogs and so on, can play out differently. I mean, today we're many Americans, I would say, well, let's just say half of this country is opposed to the oncoming president-elect.
Sure, and Trump Vader. Yeah,
Trump Vader. So, you know, people are tapping into Star Wars, and I wouldn't be surprised if books come out that kind of like poach Star Wars and try to tell narratives around what is happening. Now, I've maintained always, and perhaps it's my own bias, that mm-hmm. movies have replaced what novels used to do, to at least to Westerners. Where novels used to be transformative for people. Somebody would read a Jane Austen book and a week later say, well, you know what? I'm a totally new person.
Or right. Marshall Proust. Let me collapse on my fainting couch.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah, that sort of thing. You're right. Yeah. But now it's movies. And movies are more powerful than books. Now, I'm not advocating that people should stop reading. You know, I'm an author. And I want people to read my books.
Right.
But what I'm saying is I'm observing what is happening 21st century with media literate people approaching the world through the lens of moving media. And movies happen to be the ones that are everywhere.
So walk us through this current cultural fixation with superheroes. Mm-hmm. Right. We saw these movies pop up post 9/11. I think that's when they really began to take on a lot of momentum and for various obvious reasons, I think, at that point. And as I opened the show, we're talking about Doctor Strange, you know, which is sort of a redemption tale of a doctor who had to find, a, quote, another way to save lives, unquote. Mm-hmm. Right. Why are these mythologies important to us now? And what can we take from that positively?
Ah, it's a good question. It's a difficult job to sift through this kind of a methodical approach to imposing the idea of superhero on us in America, and then by extension, exporting it to the rest of the world. People around the world love these movies.
Yeah, we sell our superheroes to to everyone.
Yes, we do.
Have you seen a superhero that wasn't American? I haven't.
No.
There's no America. No. They're all American. We make them here, and we distribute them, and that's how that works.
And people love it.
Yeah.
People love it.
Yeah.
There are different reasons for that. Well, number one, they're easy to digest, right? You don't need complicated dialogue. You don't need character development much. The characters are already baked in mm-hmm. to the stories. And people can just tap into what they grew up with, Superman, Flash Gordon, et cetera. And hypermasculinity is key. There are certain themes that Hollywood tends to just hang on to for good reason, because they're in it for business first. And if the art form can be an auxiliary to business, they don't mind it. So some of these films tend to be artistic, but most of them are basically moving comic books of the lower grade. And they tend to sell us the idea of rugged individualism and always look for that hero, the leader.
Is there anything wrong with that? I wonder. I mean, I leave those movies often energized, feeling like, yeah, give me the cape. Let's do this.
Give me the cape, right.
Yeah, but then that's just me, and I'm the 40-something, you know, that they're calling the police about. But, I mean, is this a negative impact on our culture, this kind of heroism and that kind of stuff?
Or is I think it is. I think what it does is it disassociates us from ideas of cooperation. It alienates us from wanting to be a member of a community and a team, always being the individual that saves the day.
But what about the Avengers? That's a team, right?
With a team of a bunch of superheroes, kind of like a super team in a sports team that we look up to. Oh, superstars are gonna
I see what you're
it.
Saying. Yeah. Or maybe the Trump cabinet. No.
Right.
That's more of a rogues gallery.
Right. Imagine 4 years of narratives that we're going to produce.
At least the punk rock will be better, right? That's what happens, I guess, right? Do you remember Reagan, right? 8 years of kind of weird stuff going on, and yet a really great kind of cultural revolution.
It was pretty similar to what we're going through now. Although during the Reagan years, we didn't have social media.
Mm.
And we didn't have the millennials who are media literate. So in some ways, I am positively looking at what is going to happen in the next few years. And I'm really curious to see the extent to which our millennials are going to wake up and mobilize and see if we can turn this country around.
Yeah. Well, on that thought, let's take a little break. We'll come right back. You're listening to The Drive on KSRO with Steve Jackson. I'm Daedalus Howe sitting in, and we'll be right back.
Track North 101, it is slow at the Golden Gate Bridge approach out of San Francisco, Park Presidio, 19th Avenue, and Doyle Drive, all jammed up heading to the Toll Plaza. They will be going with that fourth northbound lane in the 4 o'clock hour. So it's fine southbound for now. The North 101 commute pattern in Marin starts at the Stinson Beach exit all the way out to Corte Madera and Sir Francis Drake, already slow 101 to 580, East 580 backed up nearly to 101. 37 delays before Lakeville, most of the way out past 121. A couple of more pockets along the way out towards Solano County on the other side of the Sonoma Creek Bridge. And for victims of drunk and drugged driving, their grief is unique. But you are not alone. MAD is here to help. Call their 24-hour victim helpline, 877-MAD-HELP, or visit mad.org, M-A-D-D.O-R-G. And that's your drive traffic. I'm Michael Green in the KSRO Traffic Center.
Oh, we're back. Oh, Steve, where art thou, Steve Jackson? Well, you're somewhere else. So, I'm Daedalus Howell sitting in, and sitting next to me is Tony Kashani. He's an author and academic, and we've been talking about how movies change lives. And he'll be speaking at the Apple Box in downtown Petaluma tomorrow, beginning at 2 p.m. to 4 p.m., actually showing movie clips as well as reading short bits from his book about how movies do, in fact, change lives. And so that's the Apple Box Cafe, 224 B Street in downtown Petaluma. Check that out. In the meantime, though, we left off talking about how superheroes aren't necessarily a good thing all the time in terms of how they affect us internally. They don't change our lives for the good all the time, some of the time.
Well, maybe I can speak about a superhero, which I think, in my opinion, being a superhero, but many of your listeners may differ with this assessment. But recently I had a chance to see Oliver Stone's latest film, Snowden.
Okay.
And I think Snowden is a hero, a true patriot in its, you know, true sense of the word.
Now, Snowden, just to recap, is the government contractor who's working with the NSA, mm-hmm. who obtained information regarding basically a surveillance program that wherein the government had access to our phone calls, emails, texts, and that kind of stuff. And he disclosed this in a pretty big, dramatic way, and really took, you know, opened Pandora's box, and how our government deals with our private lives became very public very suddenly.
Absolutely.
And now he's hiding in Moscow.
So. Which, you know, in many ways, one could see that he had no choice but to go to Moscow.
Wow.
After what happened to Chelsea Manning, mm-hmm. You know, rotten in prison right now. The movie stays very authentic. And now there's the love story and the sex appeal that Oliver Stone likes to bring in because you want to draw audiences into your theaters and have them see the film. But the film really deals with the facts, I think, in an honest manner, and it's a triumph for Oliver Stone.
So yeah. we were talking a little bit before this segment about the possibility of a presidential pardon for Snowden.
Yeah,
that one of Obama's last sort of acts as president is to lob this sort of thought bomb into public consciousness as kind of a maybe retribution against the what's happened in terms of the Trump administration coming in and all that. Do you think pardon is possible for Snowden?
Well, if President Obama is listening to this program, which I think he might be.
Always yeah, listens, yeah.
Because, you know, this is a very popular program with the White House. I think that it would be the right thing to do for him to pardon Snowden before he leaves office, not only as a slap in the face for the oncoming Trump administration.
And Putin.
and Mr. Putin, you know, our friend.
He's also listening.
Right. But also to show the American people that he really cares about the American people. He wasn't just in office to run a show and be a manager. There's another person, two other people that I think he should pardon, you know, there are a lot of people, activists out there, you know, calling for this. Mm-hmm. Leonard Peltier, the Native American.
Right, 30-something years now in prison.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. And Robert Redford was behind the movement to free him during the Clinton administration. Didn't happen. And also Chelsea Manning, Private Manning, who did something very similar to what Snowden did. In fact, he exposed, is a she now, exposed the atrocities that the U.S. soldiers were doing, and it was systemic. And he exposed that, and the world press got a hold of it, including the American press. And in horror, we saw those atrocities. So why is he in prison? He should be pardoned too, because these are true Americans. They care about their country. They care about it regardless of political affiliation and so on. And I think the movie Snowden is reaching a lot of audiences, and I hope he gets nominated for awards. So it
this
gets
is
even more exposure.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt playing Snowden under Stone's direction, Oliver Stone's direction. Well, fascinating stuff. Are you going to talk about this tomorrow at during your lecture? These
kind of subjects? Well, we'll be discussing this. It'll be open for conversation, so people are welcome. And I look forward to seeing many friends and colleagues and public
wonderful.
At large.
Great. Yeah. Tony Kashani, thank you for coming on down. And just to shout it out again, Movies Change Lives, your new book, and you'll be reading from it and showing film clips, which I think is fascinating in relationship to it, at the Apple Box Cafe tomorrow between 2 and 4 p.m. at 224 B Street. Mr. Kashani, thank you. Hope to see you again soon.
Thanks
see you
for having me.
Yeah. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back here on The Drive. it's so good to be back on the drive on a Friday. This is Daedalus Howell sitting in for Steve Jackson. I am looking forward to Thanksgiving, not least of which because it's friends and family and food and all the fun stuff. But I also like to see the fireworks. I like to see what's going to happen this time of year with all the disruption in our political scene. But I want to do it right. And to do that, I want to negotiate how I behave. And thankfully, I've got Kwame Christian on the line. That's Kwame Christian Esquire. And he's a professional negotiator from the and lawyer with the American Negotiation Institute. How are you doing, sir?
Doing well, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, always a pleasure to talk to you, and I know you've got limited time. So help me, help us out there, everyone listening. We got one half of the family digging one candidate, we'll say, the other half digging the other. How do you negotiate getting the potatoes to cross the table without them ending up in your lap?
Yeah, this year is going to be a lot of fun because these conversations are unavoidable. And so I've come up with three tactics, one peaceful, one more fun, and something, and then the last one is something we could use all the time. So let's start off with a peaceful one.
Sounds good.
So one simple trick you can use to diffuse situations when their emotions are running high is to change the grammatical tense of the conversation. So what does that look like? The majority of things that we are upset about are things that happened in the past.
Okay.
So a simple trick we can do is to orient the conversation to the future. So instead of saying the conversations, we'll talk about what all the terrible things the candidate did in the past. And then we can go back and forth on that for days. And that's where emotions and negative emotions lie.
Right.
And so instead of that, what you can do is you could just say, listen, all right, we might disagree on what happened in the past, but let's talk about what we can do together as a country to make things better.
Well, that sounds healthy and smart.
Absolutely.
Is that possible?
You know what? It's a great question. In theory, it is.
And, I mean,
in most of our conversations, it is. But politics is a different beast, so it's going to be tricky. But I think it can be done.
Yeah. No, the way you frame it, that makes sense. Like, how do we move forward together? That's you'd have to be
exactly.
Kind of if you didn't like step up to that, you'd be kind of a jerk. You'd be the jerk at the table if you didn't go into that. So yeah. Okay. Good. Okay.
Right.
What's number two?
So the next one, now this is where it gets fun.
Okay.
So think about a lawyer. And so, yes, I am a lawyer, so this will be easy. So, Daedalus, let's put on your lawyer hat.
Okay.
So if you were a lawyer, would you prefer, do you think it would be more fun for you to do cross-examination or just asking questions to a friendly witness?
Questions to a friendly witness.
Okay, and why?
Because they would probably give me the answers I'm expecting.
That's true. That is true. And the answer might surprise you. I think most lawyers like cross-examination.
Because they're better lawyers than I am.
That might be so. But you like cross-examination because you get a target. And so you don't need to provide anything. You just need to let everybody in the audience know that you are cutting their arguments down.
It's a lot
easier to cut somebody down than to build yourself up. And so this is the fun, aggressive tactic that I do not endorse, but I know some people are going to go there. So at least if you go there, I want you to do it well.
Oh, God,
okay?
I love it. Okay,
so,
yeah.
So essentially what you're doing is you're think of it like a sandcastle.
Okay.
So your friend is you and your family member, you're at the beach, and they start building a sandcastle. And then you say, oh, you know what would look good here? A moat. A moat would look great here. And so they're like, yeah, let me put in a moat. And they're like, let's put in a tower. Yeah, let's put in a tower. And then you stomp on their sandcastle. That's exactly what we're doing with this technique. So the thing is, eventually, with complex issues, humans can only speak so long without making a mistake. And so what you want to do is you want to ask questions and have them build up this argument. And then you tear down the logical fallacies that they present for you. So they'll eventually make a mistake, and then you just cut it down. And so you don't win by providing anything affirmatively, but you keep allowing them to talk and make mistakes, and that's when they make a mistake, that's when you capitalize and chop down the argument.
Ah, you're brilliant. That's brilliant. That's what my brother does to me every time. I should have called you last year. Okay.
Right. Well, the third one could help you out.
Okay.
So you're still in luck.
Okay.
So the goal with this, with all conversations, especially when you're trying to convince, trying to motivate somebody or persuade them your way, is you want to do as little of the talking as possible. Because like I said, when you talk, you give people targets. Mm-hmm. And you're not learning when you're talking. So what I suggest doing is asking as many open-ended questions as possible, because we want them to stay talking. So when I negotiate, my goal is to have the breakdown of communication about 70-30, where they're speaking 70% of the time and I'm only speaking 30% of the time. Because if I'm doing that, I know a couple things are happening. The first thing is I'm getting more information than they are relative to me, which mm-hmm. gives me more power in the dynamic, because it creates an information asymmetry in my favor. And then the second thing I know is happening is that I'm controlling the conversation. Because when you are asking questions, the person who is answering, they feel safe because they're actually doing the talking, but in reality, you're like the puppet master, and they're just on your strings going exactly where you want them to go. And so asking questions is going to be the key to controlling conversations and eventually changing minds.
That is brilliant, man. Dude, can you just hang out with me and just like make sure I don't say anything stupid all the time? It's just gonna nudge me in the ribs and say, dude, shut up. Come on. 70-30.
It would be a brilliant business idea. Kwame on call, right?
Kwame on call. You cut off. This is like the second or third time we've done this. So, yeah.
I know, and it's fun every time. I loved it.
I hope you're not billing me, man. I'm going to get a fat bill at the end of the year for all the appearances. But, well, hey, Kwame Christian, can you shout out your website, the American American Negotiation Institute? Is that .com?
Yep, AmericanNegotiationInstitute.com. And for those of you who are interested, you can get a free conflict negotiation guide. By going there, so before your hostile Thanksgiving dinner, you could download that guide by going to AmericanNegotiationInstitute.com/conflict, and it'll help you walk through those conflicts and how to resolve them in a peaceful way.
There we go. Well, hey, happy holidays to you, sir. Thank you as always, and I'm sure we'll talk again very soon. Kwame
My
Christian.
Pleasure. Happy holidays.
You too, man. Thanks a lot, man. Well, that is some very useful information. I'm eternally grateful to Kwame, and I appreciate him calling. I hope you guys out there can put that to good use. You know what I'm doing this year? I am going to a restaurant. You know why? Because my family couldn't agree as to whose house we should have Thanksgiving. And the funny thing was, I'm not against hosting it myself. It's just such a nightmare, you know, putting it all together. And then my brother, the smart one, said, you know, you know what he did? He actually didn't tell anyone. He just said, the reservation is here at this time. I'm like, really? We're not gonna discuss this. And he's like, this is what we're doing for Thanksgiving, and the rest of the family locked in, and so that's what I'm doing. And actually, I'm totally grateful for it. It's very smart. So, anyway, our producer here, Joe, said Denny's. No, not Denny's. No, but okay. Check this out. At 4:30, as we mentioned yesterday, and it was probably mentioned earlier today, there's going to be the Warriors game with Boston. The 4:30 pregame starts. Well, at 4:30. And following that, of course, it's high school football. It's returning to KSRO tonight. And that's brought to you by Key Auto Body. It's Santa Rosa and Windsor against each other in the NCS quarterfinal matchup. Kickoff is set for 7 p.m. KSRO will join in progress at the end of the Warriors basketball game. So check that out. In the meantime, we're going to take a quick break here. You're listening to The Drive with Steve Jackson. I'm Daedalus Howell sitting in.
Okay, no accidents, no stalls, no stuff in the roadway, so we're looking okay there. Just a Friday afternoon grind across Santa Rosa, South 101 Hopper down to Corby, northbound sluggish approaching Todd out to Baker, and again 12 to College. The Narrows from Atherton, pretty solid all the way into Petaluma. There was an earlier crash just beyond the Washington on-ramp, long gone, still a little sluggish there. South 101 has recovered. There was quite a bout of spectator value for South 101, checking out all the action across the freeway. Well, you may not witness bullying every day, but your kids do. They want to help, but they don't know how. Visit stopbullying.gov to learn safe and simple ways your child can help stop bullying. Be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. And that's your drive traffic. I'm Michael Green in the KSRO Traffic Center.
eyes, and I can only assume are opportunistically intended to thrust her back into the limelight at my expense.
Full story tonight on ABC's 2020. A modestly down day for Wall Street's major indexes. This is ABC News.
Honoring our veterans, singer Jordan Sparks.
What an incredible honor it was for me to be able to perform for the troops in Saudi Arabia, Iraq, and Afghanistan. The men and women who serve and protect our country really are the best of the best. So please join me today in thanking a proud veteran.
DAV, Disabled American Veterans, helps more than a million veterans in life-changing ways every year. Get help or support more victories for veterans at DAV.org.
Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
This is the North Bay's home of Golden State Warriors play-by-play. 1350 and FM 103.5, KSRO and K278CD Santa Rosa.
Win a Mercedes and cash November 4th and 18th. $100,000 in prizes guaranteed at Grayton Resort and Casino. Complete rules available at the Reward Center.
I'm Melanie Morgan in the KSRO newsroom. The union that represents San Francisco has put together an anti-Trump lesson plan that has plans to adopt and teach all high schoolers whatever happened to three R's. Well, Harmeet Dhillon of Mill Valley, who is an RNC committee woman, is slamming this plan.
It's almost child abuse to present students with this dark, one-sided view of what the whole world around them is, which it isn't like that. It is not the place of our public schools to be indoctrinating students one way or the other.
San Francisco is diverse, with many students whose families are in the country illegally and who say they are worried by Trump's calls for deportation. Still counting.
Obviously, we had a lot of ballots. We still have a lot of work to do in the next 4 weeks to get the final result out.
That's Bill Rousseau. He's the Sonoma County Registrar of Voters. The voter turnout is expected to reach as high as 86%. The number would be between the high of 93% in 2008 and 84% in 2012. I'm Melanie Morgan in the KSRO newsroom.
Here's a drive traffic update with Michael Green in the KSRO Traffic Center.
And back down to Southern Marin, North 101, about the same there from the Stinson Beach exit, heading out towards Sir Francis Drake. Slow again on the downslope into San Rafael towards Francisco. Everybody backed up to 101 trying to get to the Richmond-San Rafael Bridge. And the lane flip is just about to get started here, heading across the Golden Gate Bridge. So that should release some of that volume out of San Francisco. It's backed up pretty fierce. We're seeing the first signs of a squeeze south 101 right around Alexander. Otherwise, 37 tracking a slow pattern there from the golf course all the way out towards that Sonoma Creek Bridge as you head out into Solano County. And if you're involved in youth or high school sports, you need to know about Positive Coaching Alliance. PCA, a national nonprofit, develops better athletes and better people. PCA workshops help coaches and parents and student athletes pursue winning and life lessons through sports. PositiveCoach.org. And that's your drive traffic. I'm Michael Green in the KSRO Traffic Center.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
A bit cloudy tonight with a chance of rain, low 53 inland and on the coast. Saturday's overcast and rainy at 60 degrees inland and on the shores. Cloudy for Sunday with a bit more rain at 59, 60 in Bodega Bay. Monday, partly cloudy skies at 64, 62 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Riding home with Steve Jackson on the drive on News Talk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO.
Well, hope you're all having a fine day. I hope you're not at work anymore, everyone out there. I hope you're actually already in your car in the commuter lane with your mannequin by your side, cruising to wherever it is that you're cruising to, home or beyond. Right now, you got me. I'm Daedalus Howell. I'm sitting in for Steve, and I got Michelle Marquez with me. Hello. How are you?
I am very good. How are you, Daedalus? It's good to see you.
Likewise. Always good to see you. And what I love when we get together and chat is we talk about movies.
Movies are fun.
In our unofficial segment called Movies with Michelle.
Please don't give me another thing to do here. That'll be unofficial.
You're the busiest person I know around here, besides maybe Joe.
Yeah, Joe's pretty busy.
Joe's pretty busy. But, okay, so there are many movies out in theaters now, and there are many movies now available on Netflix that did the festival circuit or had limited release, and I know that you saw one recently that has really captured your imagination,
yeah,
if not your eardrums. And
right.
Tell us a little bit about Swiss Army Man.
Swiss Army Man. Okay, so this is a movie that stars Paul Dano and Daniel Radcliffe, and it is directed by a duo called Daniels. They're both named Dan, Dan Kwan and Daniel Scheinert. And they have only done really short movies before now. This is their first feature-length film. They're probably best known for doing the Turn Down for What music video,
right.
Lil Jon.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Got it.
And actually, Dan Kwan does some pretty sick dance moves in that, so that's pretty cool. But their vision for this basically started from a very strange idea, an image that they had. They wanted to see a guy riding another guy who was farting his way through the water, and the guy on top of him was riding him like a jet ski through the water. So this was the image, and they decided to create a full-length feature film out of this.
The commitment itself is admirable.
Right.
And they got these stars, Paul Dano from There Will Be Blood,
mm-hmm.
and Daniel Radcliffe, we know and
love Harry Potter.
Harry Potter, yeah.
Exactly. So these are both actors who have serious chops. They're not, you know, whatever. They're indie darlings.
Yes.
Well, besides Harry Potter not being very indie, but but Daniel Radcliffe since then has done a lot of really interesting work, and this is included. So Paul Dano is sort of someone who is hurting, who is at the beginning of the movie, is stranded on a desert island, very tiny island, and is about to hang himself.
So he's not doing good.
Okay. No, not doing well. And right before he's about to make that plunge, he sees this body on the shore on this desert island, and it's Daniel Radcliffe. So he's like, oh, wow. So he goes to check it out and then forms a relationship with this dead body. And it's kind of like Birdman with the magical realism, like things are happening that can't really happen.
Right.
And he, through this relationship with this dead body who farts all the time, there's lots and lots of farting in this movie.
And Radcliffe becomes sentient at some point or conscious?
Right, okay. Exactly. Yeah. So they have conversations and they interact with each other and they fart, Daniel Radcliffe does lots of farting, but he learns sort of to be okay with who he is, Paul Dano's character, and sort of heals himself by the end of this movie through this relationship with the corpse.
So it's a feel good movie.
But it's so strange. Part of this movie that makes it so wonderful, besides being completely original and weird, is the music.
Yeah.
So I wanted to play a little bit of the music. This is from a scene where Paul Dano, it's at the beginning of the movie. He has this corpse and he's carrying it around with him. Daniel Radcliffe's character hasn't started to talk yet, but he just sort of like is holding this character and starts to sing a song to it. So this is called Cave Song from Swiss Army Man.
Oh my God.
Okay, so he says a little bad word there, so we took that out. But he basically, there is quite a bit of a cappella music in this.
Yeah.
So Paul Dano sings to this corpse that he is crazy and he's going to die. And like, I got to do something to get out of here. So that sort of spurs this journey that he goes on with the corpse. And shortly after singing this song, the corpse starts to talk back to him. And so it's really incredible, the kinds of things that they do.
Utterly fascinating.
It's so weird. And so Daniel Radcliffe really does a great job. Most of this is done by him. He acts as the corpse. There are times when, you know, it's a wider shot and Paul Dano is carrying around this body that he doesn't actually carry around Daniel Radcliffe for the whole time, or he's floating in the water face down, and that's a dummy.
Yeah.
But a lot of the time, just one of his eyelids is sort of half closed. His makeup is very pale. He flops his body around. They have little things attached to him that make it seem like body parts are, you know, flying with this way and that. And it's just really, really bizarre and wonderful.
It sounds like the easiest acting job for Daniel Radcliffe ever.
Except I don't think it was.
It's probably very challenging.
I think it was very difficult.
I mean, playing dead.
Right.
Is, I mean, obviously he's taking it to another level.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just sitting there. he's emoting still. He still
really is. Yeah. And as the movie goes on, and Paul and Daniel have this stronger relationship, his face moves more. So at the beginning, it's very dead, right? Excuse the pun. But then he'll start to get more animated, and he has more facial features, and his voice gets more animated. So all of these things are building up as the relationship is getting stronger.
Spoilers, how does it end? Happy ending?
It ends the way it started, with farting. So, I mean, it's really just kind of beautiful that way.
Oh, wow.
And the reason for the title, Swiss Army Man, is that as he's using this corpse, other things start happening. Like, he realizes that, like when he rides the corpse across the water, that fart is a jet propulsion, so he can use him as a jet ski, right? Or if he hits his arm in one way, it'll slip back around and chop a piece of wood in half.
Oh, so he's got utility.
Exactly. Okay. He's using him as this sort of utility knife, and he can do all these different things. Like, he can shoot things out of his mouth, or, I mean, all these crazy things.
Oh, my God.
It's very, very funny, all those different fun things. So the other song that I wanted to play is, and I'm pretty sure it doesn't have any bad words in it. I forgot. I'm like, oh, no, turn it off.
You got it, though. You got it in time.
I did, right in time. So this one is called Montage, which is hilarious because there's a song called Montage, and that's exactly what it is.
On a montage.
Right. Yeah. So this is another tune from Swiss Army Man called Montage. It's really beautiful and uplifting and silly at the same time. Part of those lyrics, are we falling in love? I mean, there's a ridiculous part where, you know, Paul Dano is dressed up as this girl that he likes who didn't return his affections. And so they're sort of like leaning into each other for that romantic kiss moment. And, I mean, it's beautiful. It's a really beautiful film, which shouldn't be a beautiful film, but ends up being that way.
It sounds like the ultimate buddy film, but in a deeper tissue kind of way.
Right. And I love the way that the directors came at this. They stated in multiple interviews, they've said, we don't like musicals. We don't like a cappella. And all of the songs are basically a cappella in this movie. We don't like survival films. Fart jokes are, you know, the worst jokes ever. They're the basest thing, you know, the lowest of the low. And then they decided, okay, well, let's challenge ourselves. Let's do all of these things that we don't like and see what we can do.
What an amazing creative exercise. And it really, obviously, yielded some awesome results, and
I think so.
I think we should all challenge ourselves like that.
Yeah, why not?
Take things you hate, put them all together, and then exercise something creatively around them, and they no longer have power over you.
Right.
Theoretically, I don't.
Are you talking about the election now or this movie?
I'm just saying we can extrapolate a lesson from this movie.
Sure. Yeah.
And maybe proceed. I don't know. As I look at the Trump mask cutout on Steve's office door over there.
Exactly.
Oh my God. Wow, Michelle, what an awesome set of observations.
I just love this movie. I don't know why I like it so much.
It's so apparent. I get the vibe that you're really invested in this. It sounds like a very special movie, and on your recommendation alone, I shall watch it.
Good.
And it is on Netflix? It's
on Netflix. That's great. I went to my local favorite video place and rented it there, because that's what I like to do, support local people. But yeah, it's fun. The music is great, and Daniel Radcliffe has said that this soundtrack should be nominated, and I agree. I think that it is super creative, and it really propels the story forward, unlike, you know, a lot of those sort of, well, Elton John's gonna pen a song for us, thanks everybody kind of thing.
It's not just shows up.
Right, exactly. This is really an integral part of the movie.
And beautiful too. I mean,
it's really beautiful. And also a lot of it is Paul Dano and Daniel Radcliffe. So they take their breaths and use that as the percussion in the songs, or them clapping, or them just saying, you know, pop, 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 pop. And they use that then and loop it in and use them actually singing in the songs.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Well, Michelle, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you on so many levels.
Happy to help.
Michelle Marquez, thank you as always. And where do we find you next? Where do we hear you next?
You know what? I'm going to be doing the Winter Lights broadcast.
Oh, right on.
Yeah,
upcoming. The tree lighting.
The tree lighting in downtown Santa Rosa. It's moved a little bit because of this thing that's going on in Courthouse Square, but it's still in downtown. It'll be right in front of the plaza at 4th and B. So on Friday, November 25th, from 4:30 to 6:30, I'll be broadcasting, and the event goes until 8 o'clock. We want everyone to come down for a free event, rain or shine. It's so much fun to see the community there. Lots of food, things for the kids to do, the tree lighting, candle lighting ceremony for hospice, which is really great too.
Right,
so it's great.
What a cool gig.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Can we get your autograph?
No.
No, I was just meant for me right now. Okay, right. Cool.
Sorry, no.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Michelle Marquez. And thank you, Joe. I think we're going to take a little break now. And you're listening to The Drive with Steve Jackson. I'm Daedalus Howell sitting in.
Here's a Drive traffic update with Michael Green in the KSRO Traffic Center.
All right, you guys have a great night, great weekend. Go Warriors. It's going to be a wet weekend, so please drive carefully. And remember, if you've got the windshield wipers going in the daytime, make sure you got your headlights going as well. Heading into the Narrows, it is status quo. Atherton, stop and go all the way into Petaluma, out to Washington. Slow on the other side, approaching Santa Rosa Avenue out to the college exit. South 101 just before River, heading down to Corby. Plenty of slow movers there. And eastbound 37 still slow from the golf course all the way out towards the Sonoma Creek Bridge if you're heading into Solano County. There's a girl in El Salvador who dreams of becoming an engineer, and an elder in Uganda who has dreams of having a community to call his own. No two dreams are the same. Help one person achieve theirs at unbound.org. And that's your drive traffic. I'm Michael Green in the KSRO Traffic Center.
1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO, winner of both the Edward R. Murrow and Mark Twain Awards for Best Newscast in the West.
Did you know Sonoma County has one of the highest volunteer rates in the nation? That makes us Sonoma proud. United Way of the Wine Country needs English and bilingual volunteers for the United Way-led Earn It, Keep It, Save It free tax assistance program. Help low to moderate income working families and individuals get back the money they deserve at tax time by training as a volunteer. Too many local individuals and families struggle to make ends meet. You can really help. No prior tax experience needed. More than $25 million in refunds have been brought back to our communities through the Earn It, Keep It, Save It program. Volunteers help ensure all tax credits are taken by those who qualify. Become a tax preparer, greeter, resource table assistant, or interpreter during tax season. Show your Sonoma pride. Volunteer today. It's fun, rewarding, and a great resume builder. Training is free. Learn more at UnitedWayWineCountry.org or call 528-4485.
You all know about the coffee cup, the tea cup, the World Cup, the Ryder Cup, Stanley Cup. Mighty Quinn says, "You ain't seen nothing like the Emerald Cup." The Emerald Cup is the world's number one organic cannabis cup. The Emerald Cup takes place at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds, 10th and 11th December 2016. The Mighty Quinn is the exclusive Smoke Shop Platinum sponsor of the Emerald Cup, and we are giving away 12 free pairs of tickets in November. Come into any Mighty Quinn. Enter free. Four Mighty Quinns in Santa Rosa, Napa, Petaluma, and San Rafael open every day. Only one Emerald Cup at Sonoma County Fairgrounds, December 10th and 11th, 2016. Don't miss out. Just be there for this truly one-of-a-kind event.
It's time to pump up the holiday spirit in seconds. Right now at the Home Depot, a 9-foot Santa or snowman inflatable is just $29.88. You save over $30. A friendly 9-foot Santa or not-so-abominable snowman will welcome family and friends and the real Santa to your home in a big way. A big, instantly inflatable way. Save $30 on a 9-foot snowman or Santa inflatable, only $29.88. Only at the Home Depot. More saving. More doing. Valid through November 23rd, limit 3 per customer.
There's a little boy or girl living in poverty right now. They don't have enough to eat, are sick, and can't go to school. And you can release them from that poverty when you become a sponsor with Compassion International. Find out how at compassion.com/radio.
Now, more of The Drive with Steve Jackson on Sonoma County's News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Hey, Friday people, this is Daedalus Howell sitting in for Steve. Just a reminder, in about 5 minutes, the pregame show starts for the Warriors versus Boston, so stay tuned for that. And after that, we've got high school football coming back to KSRO tonight. Brought to you by Key Auto Body, it's Santa Rosa and Windsor going at it in the NCS quarterfinal matchup. Kickoff is set for 7 p.m., so we're going to join that in progress at the end of the Warriors basketball game. Hey, want to thank all the guests for being on today. Tony Kashani doing his thing tomorrow at the Apple Box at 2 p.m. in Petaluma. New book, How Movies Change Lives. And then Kwame Christian, thanks for calling in and giving us some negotiation tips for how to deal with Thanksgiving. And, of course, Michelle Marquez, Movies with Michelle, as I like to say. Fascinating stuff regarding Swiss Army Man. We're going to go out on montage. You heard a little bit of it. Oh, my God. You heard a little bit of it before. We're going to go out on it now. I'm Daedalus Howell. You can find me at dhowell.com. And thank you, Joe Pasquini.
Thank you.
Whatever legal problems you may be facing, Carrillo Law can work with you to solve them. Tracy Carrillo is an experienced trial lawyer who has handled every kind of criminal case, from juvenile matters to misdemeanor driving under the influence to civil litigation and victims' rights. Tracy Carrillo